Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You look like an angel. Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise.
And now let's take up tab 57, Board of Trustees, University of West Florida, Mr. Adam Kissel.
Coming to the present, things that I do today. So I chair the board that authorizes charter schools in my state of West Virginia. I was just appointed member and the chair of the West Virginia State Advisory Committee for the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. So we have a great team. It's equally balanced between right-leaning and left-leaning folks. And we'll be, I don't know what we're going to be doing yet. It just happened last week. But we're going to be working on civil rights in West Virginia.
So Adam Kissel, the last of the very controversial nominees to be on the UWF board. Redmond has bowed out and left the country. Scott Jenner has bowed out. Gates Garcia has bowed out. Everybody else is still there, including Adam Kissel, to appear. And, of course, Joel Rudman has also left from PSC. It's a different school, but still, you know, that was one of the controversies. Okay, so Adam Kissel was there yesterday. And, again, just for clarity, transparency, Adam Kissel is the one that a lot of people have been opposing. I think he's quite good and talented. I think he'd be a good addition to the board, even though he's not from here. He was actually the reason I asked Michelle Salzman, could we not make it so that one or two people on the board could be from not here? Because I'd been very impressed with him. But, you know, he's got quotes and a reputation that has gotten him in trouble. I think inappropriately, because I understand where he's coming from. But we'll get to all that in a second. So one of the prior candidates had been asked about the comments by DeSantis about getting rid of the Marxists and not making sure we don't have any Marxist presence and all this kind of stuff. And so he actually addressed that question in his introductory remarks about viewpoint and bias and freedom and academic freedom.
For 5 years, I worked at FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. The E now stands for expression. It's a free speech organization. I led the defense team. So we protected the free speech and academic freedom of faculty members and students. I'll add a footnote here to Senator Polsky's good question about Marxist faculty members. There's a long set of case law, including in the Supreme Court, that protects the right of any faculty member to have any belief that they want. So as a First Amendment person, it's not my job to say that a faculty member can't teach or needs to change what he or she teaches. That's just not consistent with the First Amendment at a public university, and I wouldn't want to see that at most private universities either.
And let alone at a public university. So, you know, his defense of academic freedom, that is a part of his big work, is working with FIRE and wanting to bring a certification of academic freedom. And this avoids you lawsuits. This is the kind of to Florida institutions. This is one of the things that he is actually in favor of. All right. So Don Gates, who chairs the committee Ethics and Election, after Adam Kissel had gotten voted down on the first committee, 6-1, if I remember correctly, he was here in the Ethics and Elections Committee yesterday, and Don Gates engaged him in a series of questions. I'm gonna play this because it's kind of an interesting back and forth. It's a little bit long, these clips, but it gives you a good sense of the conversation.
Less than a year ago, Mr. Kissel, you wrote, and I quote, "Post-secondary education in the U.S. needs the discipline of the market, putting all, your words, all public colleges and universities on a path to privatization is how to get there." Were you telling the truth when you wrote that?
Thank you, Senator. I think that in the long term, I'm a libertarian. I think government should be very small. So in the 100-year, maybe, let's just say 100-year world, if a university gets so good that it can survive on its own without taxpayer money, like the many private universities that they compete with, one thing that we could do is say, let's make a university financially stable, give you 18 times your annual appropriation, and say, fly free. You could, and I show in that paper that that would be revenue neutral if you support it with a bond. But you have to do that one by one, and you can't just float 18x across the whole system. So in the 100-year path, I think that's possible. And I also think it's desirable. There's no reason that a private university is worse than a public university just because it's not public.
I mean, so his answer is, first of all, he addresses the question, kudos. Second, he gives an answer that's very reasonable, which is, it's not so much that we want to defund them, it's that he wants to endow them so that they can self-fund, and we don't have to keep paying money every year to pay for this thing to exist. which is shrinking the size of government, reducing the tax burden on people. And if they are a good school, then they should be able to handle that. There's no reason that we need to keep subsidizing them. If, you know, they're going to compete against private schools, we generally, as conservatives or libertarians, as he says, you know, we don't like to see government compete against the private industry. I mean, there's all kinds of good things in that answer. But Senator Gates, who I thought was very much on the wrong track here, you know, had a point that he was trying to make to press about this question of, you know, eliminating the funding for public universities. I just think he's misunderstanding what Adam Kissel was proposing, and that's why I'm kind of defending him on it. It's not going to be good enough, by the way. We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. I'm not seeing any delays on the big board right now, so good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the engagement between Senator Gates and Adam Kissel at the Board of Trustees, the hearing for the Board of Trustees at the Ethics and Election Committee yesterday in the Senate.
Well, Mr. Kissel, less than a year ago, you wrote, the public expects accountability, but academic freedom concerns have historically featured deference, even to blatant activism among professors. And then you said one solution in these circumstances is to stop funding public colleges and universities in the first place, which means to stop having them and instead to privatize them. And then you went on to write, states could save more than $126 billion per year if they stopped subsidizing higher education. Did you plan to wait 100 years to get the $126 billion, or were you speaking in the present tense?
Thank you, Senator Gates. Again, as a libertarian, we have a lot of ideas that are politically infeasible, and we say things that are that may come true in 100 years. Libertarians were at the forefront of many civil rights battles that took decades, and I do think that in the long run, we should be very concerned about the amount of money we pay, especially for universities where, say, there's a college in Georgia with an 8% graduation rate. Should that be a public college? Should we continue to fund that? Probably the answer is no.
And right? I mean, a school where people are spending all this money and going into debt and then getting nothing out of it, of course, that should be defunded. Now, across the board, over time, again, he's saying sort of aspirationally in a political world where the politics were possible, which they are not, could we get there as a libertarian? That's what he's getting at. And you might say, well, why didn't he say something about, you know, UWF specifically, that they don't need to be on that path because they, and he, which he has said, UWF is not a candidate for this because UWF is thriving, growing, and doing very well by every indicator. And that's going to come up in the next clip. This is the last one.
Thank you, Mr. Kissel. Libertarians aren't up for the Board of Trustees today. You are. Do you still believe that the best path forward for public education and for higher education is to stop funding public universities?
Senator, I don't believe that.
You wrote it. Were you telling the truth then?
I was telling the truth then and now and again.
Have you changed your mind?
I have not changed my mind. And so I feel like there's two different points that have been conflated as though they're in conflict, but they're not. So, again, a long-term goal for me as well as other people who think like me, and I hope we do have intellectual diversity on our board, is to be very concerned about the amount of money that we spend. For a growing university in a growing state where it's politically infeasible, the right policy choice is for University of West Florida to get more and more money and resources.
Contrary to what you wrote, more and more resources as opposed to fewer and fewer and indeed stopping the funding of public universities. So you've changed your mind, or you wrote in the present tense or the future tense, or how would you explain that?
Again, Senator Gates, I appreciate the question, but I don't see those views in conflict. So in the short term, the right political choice is different from the right political choice in the long term.
I don't understand why Senator Gates isn't getting this, because to me, it's really clear what he's saying. But I thought that was a good interaction on the substance of a candidate, of whether you should have a guy who generally believes that government should get out of the business of education, you know, over the long haul, not because he wants to get rid of education, but just like getting rid of the Department of Education doesn't mean that we get out of education. It just means that the funding is controlled by the states. Similarly, what if we, you know, got state government out of the business of education and instead endowed them, you know, give them good starter capital. Now go do, right? Instead, that's kind of his view. And again, I don't know why that's so philosophically incomprehensible or such a bad idea. But the folks from Pensacola had gone over there to oppose specifically him, which I thought was interesting that it wasn't the whole slate. It was specifically Adam Kissel that they were opposing. And again, not to belabor the point, but I actually have more objections to several of the other candidates. And the same objection I have to them, to him, which is, why did you support for the chairmanship a person who had no experience in Pensacola, no knowledge of UWF, and, you know, who was a first-time person on the board? That was a terrible choice. Why did you vote for him? I think that criticism applies to Adam Kissel and everybody else. And who talked to you? You know, who convinced you to do this? Was this the governor's plot? I mean, that's what we want to know. And nobody ever asked that question, so we just still don't really know. Meanwhile, Judy Bentz, of course, the mother of football at UWF and the former president of the university, goes there and basically brings a whole busload of people with her.
I want to pick up on the word trust. One of the things that a university president has to do is to trust her board of trustees. And I want the people in the room from the University of West Florida to stand up for a second, please. All of us have trouble trust. Thank you. All of us have trouble trusting Mr. Kissel. With all due respect to himself, we are worried that we can't trust him in terms of funding, in terms of getting to know us, in terms of being a trustee from the ground up.
So I get that. I do understand. But he has really worked hard to get to know people. And the sort of the reaction from folks seems to be favorable to him when they once they know him. Even the Board of Trustees members said he's a good addition to the board once they got to hear from him as he was participating in the meetings. But still,
I want you to know that you can trust us at the University of West Florida to do the right thing for our constituents and our community, militarily, academically. And I want to know that we think that Mr. Kissel is not a good fit and should not be a University of West Florida trustee. Thank you.
And I will say this. If Judy Bentz says no, I'm inclined to defer on that basis alone. Like, I have my own view, right? If I'm sitting there as a senator, what do I do? My own evaluation, everything, you know, Andrew McKay, talk show host, says one thing. Judy Bentz says another. I'm like, it's hard to, you know, because I mean, she's Judy Bentz. And maybe you defer to that, which is exactly what one of the Democrats, Tina Scott Polsky, said.
Be very quick. I just want to echo the words of the former president. If we're going to trust people, thank you all for coming from UWF. I'm going to honor your request.
Yeah, and by the way, one of the things about being a conservative is that you defer to authority, or you find people whose judgment you trust more than your own, or whose knowledge base you trust more than your own. I mean, it's only the fool who thinks that everything has to make sense to them and that they have to have the right answer on everything all the time. Like, who could possibly know enough to have that be the case? So I'm very torn on this particular issue. Senator Aaron Grawl, I thought said exactly the right thing, though, because, again, as I said, I think he'd be a good outside voice with a lot of outside experience to UWF.
I would say that it's more concerning to me when we don't know where somebody stands or has opinions on any number of things. And the fact that Mr. Kissel has been open about his opinions and writes about them openly, I think, gives the ability to challenge those opinions as another board member. And I think that he would bring a wealth of knowledge, especially on the accreditation issue, to this board, and especially from those other members that we heard from today. And I would ask for your favorable support, because I think that he offers something different, and that's what our university should be about.
That's kind of been my point all along, is he knows more about education as a whole across the nation and how things are moving than I think any of the board members that I have heard from. Now, they know a lot more about UWF and local conditions and all of that, and he's trying to learn that stuff. But that's why I thought he was a good ad. But they wound up voting, and the vote was 4-5, as in 5 against. So he failed to get the nomination. All the Democrats and a couple of the Republicans voted against him. 4 Republicans voted for him. As I said, it was a split board, 4-5. He will not be going forward to the Senate. The question now is what happens to him on the Board of Trustees and whether the governor continues his appointment for up to a year, which he can do. We'll see. I'll be honest. I had more concern about most of the other candidates than I had about him. But I do understand why people had objections to him. And, you know, there's almost a sense that, well, they should all be denied, you know, just on principle, which, if they did that, too, which I thought was weird that they only dinged him and they unanimously approved all the rest of them. So That was the decision yesterday, but there were still some very interesting conversations along the way. We'll cover that next hour. 625 News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good, but if you're over in the Pace and Milton area, be aware there's some light fog in the area, so just be careful with that. It should burn off pretty quickly. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you need work done inside your home on electrical or air conditioning or plumbing or heating, these are all kind of, you know, not necessarily interconnected, but they're all complicated systems, right? They're things that are not so easy to fix just with a hammer. So you call somebody who's really good at it because, you know, you might make the thing worse by fiddling with it. Well, Peden, that's the company. They do all of these things inside your home. They've been doing it for 55 years, all along the Gulf Coast, whether it's in, you know, Panama City or Tallahassee or here in Pensacola or in Baldwin County or in Mobile, which they just recently expanded to in the last couple of years. You know, 100% satisfaction on the work. They're going to show up on time. They're going to do what they say. And you're going to have confidence in the products and the people who do things. And for this month, they always have a special every month. For this month, the month of April, you can get rid of the allergens, the dust, the pollen, the dander out of your home if you're coughing and sneezing and wondering why. Well, stuff in the air, right, is what does that. Well, in April, they have $250 off an indoor air quality system. So with Peden, during the month of April, help, you know, yourself cough and your kids and family sneeze and cough less by getting an indoor air quality system, $250 off at Peden, PEDEN.com.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Hey, all the way.
Hey, all the way.
The Pensacola Navy Days 4K is Saturday, May 10th. This fun run starts at Plaza de Luna and runs up Palafox, along Bayfront to Veterans Park, and back to Plaza de Luna. Registrants receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days challenge coin and race t-shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Plaza de Luna, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air. Tune in tomorrow at 9:30. See you groovy people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Where's my ripped jeans and my do-rag? 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and I've never worn cowboy boots and won't start now. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, thousands of people under evacuation orders in New Jersey because of this giant wildfire. Apparently 13,000 buildings are being threatened, and it's scorched over 8,500 acres so far.
Wow. Okay. It's a large one. The sailfish sign says Gulf of America. $2,600. Super cool. Super cool. Gulf of Mexico.
America.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Bells tolling at the Vatican as the body of Pope Francis was transferred to St. Peter's Basilica for 3 days of public viewings.
The procession today included cardinals, priests, and members of the Swiss Guard walking the casket from the chapel of Casa Santa Marta, his residence, to St. Peter's.
That's Fox's Alex Hogan. The Pope's funeral will be held Saturday morning. The Department of Health and Human Services and the FDA announcing plans to phase out petroleum-based food dyes from America's food supply.
They want to eat petroleum. They ought to add it themselves at home.
RFK Jr. appearing alongside FDA Commissioner Marty McCarry.
For the last 50 years, American children have increasingly been living in a toxic soup of synthetic chemicals.
He says the FDA is working to ban two dyes and have the food industry voluntarily pull the other six. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got a beautiful morning. It's partly cloudy and 68 degrees. We'll get more with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. A proposal to protect Florida's state parks from golf courses and luxury resorts has advanced. The Senate Fiscal Policy Committee yesterday approving SB 80 on Tuesday. This comes after public outcry against the state's Great Outdoors Initiative, which aimed to introduce golf courses, resort-style lodges, and pickleball courts in state parks. An amendment that would have allowed certain recreational facilities was rejected. That ensured clearer protections against commercialization. The House already passed its version of the bill. Both chambers must reconcile their proposals by May 2nd. Florida's Attorney General James Utmeyer filing a lawsuit against Snapchat.
We continue to see case after case after case where young kids are preyed upon using applications. And Snapchat happens to be one of the worst offenders.
Utmeyer says the social media platform has violated a state law that restricts account access for users under 16. The lawsuit says Snapchat permits accounts for users under 14 and does not seek parental consent for older teens. Advocates say the law is crucial in combating the addictive nature of social media platforms. Utmeyer also said the state is investigating Roblox for similar reasons. Well, the iconic sailfish sign has been updated to reflect the new Gulf of America name. The sign now says drive east along the Gulf of America. America, patriotic in red, white, and blue on the sign as well. The changes were made in accordance with President Trump's executive order earlier this year, officially changing the Gulf's name. The Senate Ethics and Elections Committee approving six appointees to the UWF Board of Trustees yesterday. They did reject the appointment of Adam Kissel. There were several speakers during that confirmation hearing.
The Board of Trustees will take over 100 actions in the course of an academic year that will impact the academic programs, the accreditation programs, the budget. It's very important that they stay a course that is not ideologically based, but what is best for the broader community.
That is 14-year trustee Suzanne Lewis, and in the end, the committee rejected Kissel in a 5-4 vote, although he could potentially still be reappointed by the governor after the legislative session ends. Well, we learned yesterday that an arrest was made after that weekend fatal shooting outside of the 850 Event Center. The shooting itself happened Saturday morning. The suspect was in jail by Sunday night.
Over the weekend, we had a number of our homicide investigators out. They worked pretty much around the clock getting the information we needed, because the first 24, 48 hours are very important. So we were able to get some video from the areas, put everything together, and then ascertain exactly who did the crime. And again, we were able to make an arrest pretty relatively short order.
Sheriff Chip Simmons there. That case reportedly is tied to a previous domestic violence investigation. The alleged shooter, 24-year-old Jalen Woods, was the brother of a victim in the other case. Well, Florida paying tribute to Pope Francis. The governor says that flags will stay at half staff until Francis is laid to rest this weekend. This will affect all local and state buildings, installations, and grounds throughout the state. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. We've got a disabled vehicle on 98 right there in front of the Whataburger eastbound. It's blocking the right-hand lane. Thank you for the tip on that one. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're traveling 98 eastbound by the Windhaven Beach area and just west of that, you're going to start to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
There will be a small chance of rain this afternoon, most of us staying nice and cloudy. Highs today reaching the upper 70s to low 80s. Overnight tonight staying into the upper 60s. Heading into your Thursday, we are going to be looking at some nice weather with a little more sunshine in the afternoon. Temperatures warming up near the upper 70s and low 80s again. Overnight on Thursday, temperatures dropping back near 69. Going into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees and low Friday night near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 636. At News Radio, we've got 70 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The yield on the 10-year Treasury declined this morning after President Trump backtracked on comments he made about firing Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. The 10-year Treasury yield was 4 basis points lower at 4.346%. The European Union has fined Apple and Meta hundreds of millions of dollars each for breaching the bloc's digital competition laws. Officials said that Apple failed to comply with so-called anti-steering obligations under the Digital Markets Act. For Meta, the EU Commission found that the social media group illegally required users to consent to sharing their data with a company or pay for an ad-free service. Eli Lilly is suing four telehealth companies selling compounded versions of tirzepatide, the active ingredient in its weight loss drug Zepbound and diabetes drug Mounjaro. Lilly claims Mochi Health, Fella Health, Willow Health, and Henry Meds are deceiving consumers and turning them away from Lilly's medicines. Futures are sharply higher. That's Your Money Now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 6:41 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. That music can only mean one thing. It means we're talking to the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. Bruce Woody is on the line. Bruce, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you. Hey, a couple of things I want to get to real quick just to get, you know, your reaction to them, and then we'll get to what you guys did yesterday. I think it's the Senate side has now passed the bill banning fluoride in water systems in the entire state of Florida. I think the House has not, and it certainly hasn't been signed by DeSantis yet, but I know this is something you guys are watching very closely, right?
That is true. Senate Bill 700, also called the Farm Bill, has passed the Senate. It's in messages right now over at the House. It's anticipated to be passed, but certainly has a few more steps to proceed. If it does pass and get the governor's approval, then it would affect the entire state of Florida.
And that, if that goes, and that goes, if that gets passed, and if it gets signed and goes into law, then this whole conversation is just over. Whatever the effective date is, I assume it'd be like July 1st or something. We just stop putting fluoride in the water, right? If that happens, right?
If that happens, yeah, that's correct.
All right. The other thing is I had a question asked of me, and I felt like I was not able to give nearly as good an answer as I wanted to. We were talking about in Santa Rosa County the effort to convert people from septic onto sewer systems, something which the state requires based on how if you have sewer available, you have to convert within a year. If your septic system fails, you have to convert immediately. If there's no sewer available, well, obviously you can stick with your septic. They were talking, you know, they have this now in their county ordinances or whatever to align them with the state in order to get better grant access. All that aside, somebody, you know, and I had always made the case that, look, septic is bad for the environment. You know, it's not as good as sewer for the environment. And somebody said, I thought actually sewer was not as good for the environment, that septic was very good for the environment. And I did some, you know, looking, and I think there's arguments on both sides. But I wanted to ask you, I know ECUA is big on converting septic to sewer. So how would you answer that question?
Septic systems can be good if they're well maintained and taken care of. The problem is they aren't generally well maintained and taken care of. They're kind of out of sight, out of mind, and as long as they aren't causing a problem, haven't had a failure of either the system or the leach field, people don't think about them too much. Maybe they do some periodic maintenance on it, but the preponderance of folks generally kind of ignore them until there is actually a problem. And because of the frequency of problems, overall they are not as reliable, particularly in urban areas. You get much more consistent, reliable environmental protection through a sewer collection system. Plus, we have advanced wastewater treatment, particularly in this county. We voluntarily treat to standards that are higher than what our permit even allows or requires. So there's extra advantages there as well.
Okay, all right. And that's kind of what I had thought, too, is that, you know, if properly done, they can be quite good. And, of course, sewer has its own, you know, flaws and dangers. We know about that. Sure. But it's, you know, people don't often do the maintenance that they're supposed to do. I remember we had a Norico system and we'd have it maintained every year, or if there was a problem. But still, it, you know, it can be an issue. And as you say, urban areas and the access to the land you need for the leach field. And then also the one other thing that I think people maybe don't think about is close to waterways. Is the issue, whether it's flooding, rainwater, runoff, or just, you know, the proximity to waterways is where you get particularly concerned about having a septic system in general, right? That's the main issue?
Yes, and that's where we prioritize work that we pursue for trying to convert areas served by septic systems over to sanitary sewer collection systems.
Like the ones over by Jones Swamp, for example, is one that I know you guys have been working on for years,
yeah.
And that's a really good project.
Yeah. We're
talking
groundwater.
Go ahead.
Where the groundwater's hot, yes.
Yeah. We're talking to Bruce Woody, the executive director of ECUA. Hang on for just a second, Bruce. Let's get traffic with John Pickens. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much. John, you guys are working on several different projects, making progress on them, and you gave an update to the board about this yesterday, Bruce?
Yeah, real quick, I want to touch on several projects. We like to partner with the city and the county when times when we need to do work in the same corridor that the those other units of government are doing work. We have a project with the county where they're going to be replacing some storm drainage work and doing some paving along Old Palafox Highway from West Hinestead down to West Airport. This next year, we're beginning some engineering this year. We're going to be replacing water lines in that area and adding a little bit of new sewer along Hancock Lane and Majors Road, doing that in conjunction with the county. That's a good partnership project we're pleased with. We also recently completed.
Is that gonna the one on Hancock in that? And I just live in that area. Is that gonna affect like Brown Barge, traffic in that vicinity? Do you know yet?
Well, anytime there's construction in the area, it does affect traffic to a degree, and a couple of those streets are dead ends. But access will always be maintained. At worst, it'll be local traffic only in some areas. We may have to reduce a lane to. Just a road, single lane.
Just having had kids go to Brown Barge, you caught my attention with the Hancock one. So, okay, go ahead. There was another project or two you were going to talk about?
A couple of those real quick. We just finished phase 4 of a recycled water over along Pensacola Beach. We're taking the wastewater effluent that's been treated to advanced wastewater standards along Pensacola Beach and using that for irrigation along the medians of Via de Luna, and when a couple more phases are complete on that project, we'll also have it available to sell to the hotels and other adjacent property owners who want to use that for irrigation.
Oh, good. Okay.
Means to get rid of that.
Use the treated water to water the lawn, right, instead of the potable water.
That's right. That's right. We're continuing our replacement of sanitation trucks. We've got 9 received recently. We're finally, after literally years of supply chain delays.
Right.
We have a large order from 2.5 years ago that are finally starting to come in, about 3 per month over the next 7 months. So we have about $19 million worth of purchases that are finally starting to roll in. So you will start to see a lot more new sanitation vehicles on the street.
Really what's, what's a truck these days? I mean, million, million and a half, two?
They vary from upper 300s to low to middle 400 thousand range.
I'm thinking of fire trucks. I know what those cost, and I was curious what the relationship
is.
At one time, you were short drivers. Are you still short drivers, or are we staffed up on drivers?
We're doing pretty well with drivers. We significantly raised the rates we pay for CDLs, and we've also started a program where we will hire folks before they have their CDL and put them through a CDL driving school to get their license. And that really helped us dramatically.
And what do you pay? Because people might be listening thinking, I'd like a job.
I wish there was a number I could quote from memory. I don't want to say a number that I'm a little off.
I'll say it's good
pay. We have
a
certain base pay, and then yes, it's competitive in the region.
Does the advent of new trucks mean fewer leaks, spills, fluid, things along? Because, I mean, you know as well as I do, garbage trucks leak, but, you know, not every part of the garbage truck has to leak. Is that going to be an improved result for people?
That is part of it. As trucks age, they do rust and corrode in spots are a little more prone to that.
Okay.
Another project we're working on, though, that would help that probably more than anything, is that we're completing design and getting ready to start construction, hopefully this fall, on the transfer station, which would allow us to send less of our trucks to the actual landfill. Instead, we would send transfer trailers to the landfill. At the landfill, our vehicles often receive some damage when they're driving over the landfill face, punctured tires, little cuts and scrapes on hydraulic hoses, things like that, that sometimes we won't see or develop a leak until we're back out on the in the neighborhoods picking up things. So staying out of the landfill will really help that as well.
Interesting. I never thought about that, the hazards of the actual drop-off of the landfill being an issue. But it makes sense. You know, it's not an ordinary kind of road. And for people who don't know, the idea of the transfer station is that instead of having your trucks drive all the way out to the landfill and back and forth, especially during, you know, high-volume traffic times, which is road miles on the trucks and also is, you know, it's traffic, which is a problem for everybody, and time spent on those roads. You bring it to a sort of a midway point, which is out on, oh, what's the road it's going to be on? I know Vicki Campbell is one of her pet projects, but where is it at?
Pine Forest, just a block or two north of Mobile Highway.
Thank you. Pine Forest by Mobile Highway. So you bring stuff there, and then it brings it from there to the landfill, a shuttle on a little bit bigger truck, which is, you know, again, that's a really good project. But I think you had one more you were going to say?
Yes, the Elvin McCorvey well on North Ike Street, just north of Cervantes. We have an existing well there, but we are replacing it. We took down a elevated tank at that location and have built a 3 million gallon ground storage tank. That work is already complete. The well has been drilled. That work is complete, and now we're starting our last and final phase here shortly. Contractors beginning work on the water treatment plant itself and the GAC filters and the rest of that project. We anticipate 14 months or so from now, we shall have ribbon cutting on a new well facility at that location that we're pretty excited about.
Very good. Granular activated carbon, the filtering system, the GAC, as he mentioned, in case you don't know the terminology. And then the last thing is you guys are in budget season right now, so the next meeting we'll talk about budgets, but you're also making a change to, what, accessing your codes online. Is that right?
Yes. If there's a general interest by the public, our FY26 budget will be discussed May 12th through 15th, 3 o'clock each of those days. You can watch live, or you can watch recorded versions later, where we discuss where we'll be spending funds for next year for capital projects. And then also we have an exciting change within the next 3 or 4 business days. Our ECUA code will be accessible on our website. It's been completely digitized and updated, so it's more accessible for the general public as well as for ECUA staff. You can do lots of good research. Rate information is available. You can do word searches throughout the document. It's a much nice, more transparent way to present our ECUA code.
When you describe it as exciting, I'm not sure that everybody would describe that as exciting. But I will say,
well,
this, having tried to find information on the ECUA website in the past, and I would describe it charitably as impenetrable, that's good. I'm glad to see that you guys are working on that, because it is a frustrating interface. So I'm glad you guys are making upgrades and improvements to that. Bruce Woody, the executive director of ECUA, the guy who takes away your trash, the guy who provides you the water, takes away your wastewater, you know, handles your recycling, gives you, you know, lawn debris pellets that you can, I mean, just all kinds of stuff that you guys are involved in. Bruce, one of the most essential public safety and health services in our county is provided by your operation. I appreciate that, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Andy. Andrew,
absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Oh, he called me Andy. That's cute. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are considering the prospect of replacing your vehicle, not necessarily because you want to buy a trash truck, but, you know, whatever your vehicle is. I mean, Frontier might be able to help you with that, too. I don't know. Maybe you want to drive one around. You know, maybe you want to, your dream is to drive a bus. I mean, a real bus. You know, maybe they can help you with that. Probably not, but maybe. You never know. Ask them. That's my point. Frontier knows cars. They've been doing this for more than 25 years in Pensacola, and you can consider them as a resource. Like, call them to ask questions. You need a Carfax run on a car, call them. They'll do it for free for you. No big deal. That's easy. Not everybody does Carfax, and, you know, you're out buying some car from, you know, Billy on Facebook Marketplace. Well, you know, call Frontier, give them the VIN. They'll run a Carfax for you, no problem. Why would they do that? Because they can. Because it's helpful. Because it's part of their MO, which is just, how can we be a resource for this community? Yes, we want to sell people cars, but we want to sell them cars in such a way that they like the service so much that they want to keep coming back, that they enjoy us and think of us as partners rather than, you know, adversaries who are trying to pry the bucks out of their fingers. Frontier Motors have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Hey, we got the Navy Days Gala is coming up at the Naval Aviation Museum on May 9th. Presented by the Panera Credit Union. Tickets are limited and include cocktails, dinner from Classic City Catering, live music under the Blue Angels. It's a great event. I went to it last year. It's fantastic. I will be there again this year. You also have Casual for Kids. Friday, April 25th is coming up. Wear the T-shirts and hats to support the Ronald McDonald House Charities. God, great, great work that they do. Order them by April the 9th. And this weekend, we have the Men Who Cook. I will be cooking along with my son. We did figure out our menu, John.
Thank you, finally.
We're reprising something that we did in the past that was award-winning because we couldn't come up with a new thing, but we haven't done this in like 7 years, so it's good. Chicken and waffles with, you know, chicken and waffle and jalapeno and bacon and syrup and ice cream.
I have a suggestion.
Well, we'll see. Go on.
I was just going to say Friday, bring in samples for us.
I should have guessed, of course. Always with the freebies. I know you. All right. That's not going to happen, by the way. We're not pre-cooking 3 days in advance just for you. Love you, but no. tell them about traffic on the fives. Maybe Monday after. Maybe Monday after.
You're not going to pre-cook for me?
No.
Okay. All right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. If you're traveling on 98 eastbound just east of Navarre Park, you're going to start to see some slowdowns. I'd say about a 7 to 10 minute delay associated with that. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road, you'll see some delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, I admire and share your zest for free food.
Well, I mean, if you're cooking...
Spring cleaning and remodeling is in the air. And at Jonathan's Flooring, you can get your beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation with a large selection of tile, carpet, and the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors this spring. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring, North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's good to be the king.
This is a heartstring song for me. This is like high school prom music, man. Oh, I love Alphaville. Alphaville fan at all, John? Never heard of him? Country music ruined you. Anyway, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. You know, it's funny because I was an Alphaville fan a lot back then, and people would talk about, oh, that song Forever Young. I'd be like, yeah, it's so good. And they're like, yeah, I love Rod Stewart. I'm like, wrong.
Yeah, Forever that was Young. Rod Stewart.
Mm-hmm. We actually, I think that was the theme song to our prom, but it was the wrong. Anyway, let's move on. Too much nostalgia for me. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Pope Francis now lying in state at St. Peter's Basilica. The 88-year-old died Easter Monday of a stroke and heart failure. His body was carried out of his residence yesterday on a wooden platform held up by 14 pallbearers in a procession that included priests, cardinals, friars, a choir, and Swiss guards, and taken to St. Peter's Basilica. He'll lie in state there for 3 days of public viewing until the funeral this coming weekend on Saturday.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. UWF and PSC in the news yesterday with the hearings at the Ethics and Election Committee in the Senate. We'll finish up coverage of that with the others who were heard yesterday. And, the sailfish sign says travel all along the Gulf of Mexico in big, difficult-to-read American colors. We...